This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Forgiveness Part 2, was delivered on February 28th, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
To be obedient to do our part. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Good morning, family. Can you believe it? It's like the last day of February. And I wanted to tell Grant and Kavai, happy anniversary, but I don't know how you can celebrate your anniversary because you got married on February 29th. So, Grant, I guess maybe you're buying flowers every, how many years? Every 7 years or something? 4 years. You better not, Grant, or else you'll be in trouble. The men's ministry will give you lickings, but happy anniversary to Grant and Kavai. That was like the coolest wedding. On the black sand beach at Po'iki in surf shorts, barefoot. Oh, yeah. Woo, that was nice. Hey, if you was here last week, we talked about giving forgiveness. And I hope any of you had an opportunity to forgive somebody dear to you. I hope so, because it just sets you free. You know, just by saying, you know what, I forgive you for what you have done. And, you know, hopefully it sets you free because it's important. It's a command that we give forgiveness when somebody does something to us intentionally or inintentionally, not intentionally, just it's our responsibility to act in such a way that people see Jesus in us. And when we can forgive others for the wrong that they have done us, it shows that Christ lives in us. But today we're going to talk about receiving it. And when I prayed that prayer to receive Jesus, asking him to forgive me of my sins, I not only let him into my heart, but I received forgiveness for the sins that I have committed. And some people, you know, you heard people say, well, I don't sin. You already sinned by saying that right there. But yeah, I mean, we all sin. Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we all sin in some way, shape, or form. Maybe not on purpose, but maybe unintentionally we do it. Romans 10:9 is one of the scriptures I like to always quote. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And sometimes we may think, oh, I'm so bad. I've done so many rotten, terrible, awful things. How many of you in that category? Okay, that's all the honest people. The rest of you are saints then, huh? You guys are good. I've done so many bad, awful, terrible things. And then how could God forgive me? You know, I've done things like I've cheated, not on my wife, but cheated, you know, like taking tests and stuff like that. I lied. I stole. And I think, why I did other things, you know? I got drunk and other things and this and that. And you know, think, how and why would anyone want to forgive me? You know, I mean, other than your parents, you think because they love you, they would be willing to forgive you. But God forgives me because of his enormous capacity to love us unconditionally. Now, he doesn't love us because we come to church. He doesn't love us because I put $5 in the offering bucket. He doesn't love us because I take good care of my wife and my family. He loves us even when we stumble and fall. And, you know, if I got drunk last night, he still would have loved me. In fact, yesterday, God says, thank you, Stephen, because yesterday we had beer-battered kahala for our men's ministry, and they loved it. So thank you, Stephen. Stephen caught that kahala. Yes, so, you know, and to tell you the truth, I got 4 bottles of beer, empty beer bottles rolling around in my car. It's like I forgot to take them out. And it's clanking around. I was like, oh, if the police ever pull me over, I'm going to be like, oh, that was for a men's ministry. Yeah, right. Come on. But even if I did that and God, and I got arrested, God would still love me. I don't know about you guys. You might be like, oh, wait a minute now. So no matter how bad or how rotten or how many bad things you think you may have done, God has this love for you, and he's so willing to forgive you, and you just got to ask. So what exactly is receiving forgiveness? You know, when I think about receiving forgiveness, for me, it is accepting the fact that I am a sinner in need of a Savior and forgiveness. Because I cannot get to heaven on good intentions. I cannot get to heaven by doing good things here and hoping that because I am good, I may not lie, I'm going to get to heaven. No, I'm a sinner, and the wages of sin is? Yeah, exactly. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, in order for me to receive that, I need to confess my sins and receive the forgiveness. Because God is not going to force forgiveness on you. Anybody try to force you to take something before? Yeah? Like, right? Take it. No, I don't want it. Take it. I don't want it. Take it. You know, nobody ever had to force me to take food. Thank God. Maybe salad. Eat it. At elementary school, the teacher made me eat salad. She made me hold my nose and, oh, that's awful. Traumatized. Yeah. What is receiving forgiveness? Accepting the fact that I am a sinner in need of a Savior and forgiveness. Psalms 32:5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. How many of you come to God and it's like, you hit your knees and say, oh Lord, I am so sorry that when I drove down the road and somebody cut me off, I called that person a knucklehead, and that's the same mouth that I was singing in church yesterday. And tomorrow I'm cursing the guy that you created. You know, you come to God, you cannot come to God and say, oh God, I'm perfect. I don't need any forgiveness. I mean, that's not how it works. Our faults, we cannot hide them from God. He sees it. I said I will confess my transgressions. Every day, how many of you, every day, Lord, sorry I did this, sorry that, you know, didn't mean to. What is confession? Confession is, to confess our sins is to agree with God, to acknowledge that he is right to declare what he has done, what we have done as being sinful, and that we are wrong to desire to sin or even just to do it even by accident. It means we affirm our intention of forsaking that sin in order to follow God a lot more faithfully. So we confess, we agree, we say, God, yes, you're right, I am a sinner. I deserve death, but you gave me grace. And I confess you forgave me. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgression will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes him will find compassion. Wow. Remember? when I read it, I think about David. Remember King David when he committed adultery? And then he found out that Bathsheba was pregnant. And then he didn't confess it, not right then and there. He tried to hide it. And how did he hide it? He tried to get Uriah to sleep with his wife so that he would think that was his kid. But that didn't work. So he sent Uriah to the front lines where the battle is the fiercest. And he gave orders that when it's the fiercest, that the rest of the army would pull back. But how do you like that? You're fighting. You are loyal guy. And Uriah was so loyal, and he was fighting for the kingdom. And all of a sudden, he's like, where is everybody? Bang, and he died. David committed murder to cover up his sin. So he committed a sin to try to cover up a sin. Now, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. So what happened when that baby was born? That baby died. It was only until Nathan came and told them a story. Remember that story about this one man? He had this nice little sheep as his pet. A rich man had a whole bunch of sheep. But when his guest came into town, he took this one man's pet, killed it, and served it to his guest. And David was mad. He was furious when he heard that story. And what did Nathan say? You are that man. Oh, it was like, whew. That must have been a hammer just dropping on him. And he's like, oh, what did he do? He confessed. And he repented. Yeah, see, he who conceals his transgression will not prosper. So we need to ask, and then when we ask, we receive. It is, I think for us, sometimes it's kind of human nature to hide our sins and overlook our mistakes. I mean, any of you ever come out of a store and find that you left something in your cart and you didn't pay for it? And it's like, oh, nobody saw. I don't like go back and stand in that long line. I did that twice, and I went back in the store, stand in that long line twice. I even drove to corner one time to tell somebody that they didn't charge me of the proper amount of tiles that I bought. So when I went back and I told her, you gotta charge me for like 60 or 70 more tiles, the lady looked at me like, you kidding me? Nobody does this. Nobody in their right mind does this. I mean, she probably wanted to take my temperature to check. But, you know, it's like, I did something and it wasn't right. Not on purpose, but I've made it right. If you remember the story of Joseph. Remember Joseph? He was like this young, kind of arrogant guy, telling his brothers that they're going to bow down to him, and telling his father and mother that they're going to bow down to him. And they kind of didn't like him, especially his brothers. He was his dad's favorite. But his brothers really didn't care for him because of his dreams, and he was dad's favorite. So what did they do to him? One day when he went, his dad told him, go check on your brothers. When he was going, he said, there he comes, the dreamer. So the brother said, let's kill him. And one of the brothers said, no, let's not shed his blood. Let's throw him in the pit. Let's throw him in the pit. And then they seen the caravan coming. Let's sell him. So they sold him. The caravan went to Egypt, and Potiphar bought him. And he was a slave in Potiphar's house for years. And then Potiphar's wife accused him of rape, which was untrue. He went in jail. They forgot about him. Finally, he came out because he could interpret dreams. And then when he interpreted the dream, Pharaoh put him in charge of everything. And now there was a famine, great famine in the land. And his brothers came to buy grain. And so now Joseph looks like an Egyptian with all the makeup and the headpiece, and he's all fancy. He doesn't look like a shepherd, which their family was. So he was probably well-dressed, probably good-smelling, not like one shepherd who smelled like his sheep. And he recognized his brothers, but his brothers doesn't recognize him. Right? So they have a couple interactions. And then in Genesis 45, Joseph, this is the moment that Joseph reveals his identity to his brother. Sorry, it's not in your outline, but that's why I say bring your Bibles. But he reveals himself. Turn on your Bibles. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I can even make phone calls and text messages. Right? So this is the moment when Joseph is about to reveal his identity to his brothers. And then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And he says, now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Now, does this sound like a guy who is like waiting to exact revenge on his brothers? Does this sound like a mean, angry guy who's holding a grudge? Like, I am going to get them back with all my vengeance. Hey, I am the ruler. I can do anything in Egypt. I am second in command. I can punish these guys so badly. He already had some of them thrown in jail just for fun. Right? So he said, now do not be grieved. He's like, don't worry. Well, you meant bad, but you know what? God meant it to preserve life. For the famine has been in this land just 2 years, and there are still 5 more years left. So God sent me before you to preserve life for you, a remnant in the earth, and to keep you alive for a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. So he's like, he's over it. And he's like telling his brothers, it's good. It wasn't you. It was all in God's plan so that lives can be saved. Then he says, hurry, go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all of Egypt. So, you know, he's like, man, I'm so happy to see you. It's good to have you here. And then if you go to Genesis later on, in Genesis 49. Where was it? Was it here? Well, right here, Genesis 50, verse 15. Okay. So the brothers still didn't get over what they did. They still didn't understand that Joseph was okay. He had let things go. I think if he held on to the bitterness for all those years, he wouldn't have been so successful in Egypt. Because if you read the story, everything he put his hand to in Potiphar's house, in the jail, under Pharaoh, everything he did, he was prosperous. And I think if he held on to bitterness of what his brothers did to him, I think he would have been a very bitter person. And I don't think he would have accomplished that much. But in Genesis 50, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for the wrong which we did to him? They didn't get it the first time. They didn't accept the fact that Joseph was letting them go of their guilt. So now, after the father dies, it's like, oh gosh, now what? He's gonna get us. But a few chapters ago, Joseph said, it's all good. But they just didn't accept it. They couldn't believe the fact that after what we'd done to him, he's okay. How could he be okay? We did some, we pretty much ruined his whole life. They didn't receive what Joseph was saying. So now that the father has died, now he's like, oh my gosh. Now in verse 7, thus you shall say to Joseph, please forgive, I beg you, the transgressions of your brothers and their sin, for they did do wrong. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept and they spoke. So I think maybe the first time they just didn't understand what Joseph was saying. You know, sometimes when we sin and we think, oh, that's so bad. Lord, forgive me. And then 10 minutes later, we go back, oh, Lord, forgive me. 10 minutes later, oh, Lord, forgive me. It's like, hey, you already said it. You already asked for forgiveness. You believe that you have received it. I don't think we got to ask for forgiveness 20 times for the same sin unless we keep doing over and over and over again. Like when I drive. Over and over again, same thing. Dog going back to his vomit because I keep repeating the same mistakes. I just gotta drive slower or have somebody drive or put myself in the back seat with a blindfold on so I don't see it. Yeah. So we need to confess and we need to believe that when we confess, God will forgive us. So number two, why do I need to receive forgiveness? Man, we got to receive forgiveness so that we can move forward. You know, when you confess your sins, you become right with God. You're made righteous, right with God. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once and for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but making alive in the spirit. If you and I, if we don't believe and accept the fact that we are sinners destined for hell and we needed a savior and a redeemer, then we're just doomed to die in our sins. We have been presented with this opportunity once again to have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. But do we believe it? Do we believe it and can we accept it? Do we believe that Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, was put in a tomb, 3 days later came out, and when we say, ask for forgiveness and we accept it, we believe it, then we are forgiven by grace, and we've given a new life. We all need forgiveness. I don't care how good you may think you are, you still need it. Ephesians 1:7, in him, in God, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. To speak of Jesus' blood was an important first century way of speaking of Christ's death. His death pointed to two wonderful truths, redemption and forgiveness. Now that's why sometimes it's just as important to forgive as it is to receive. The forgiveness. Just confess, hey Lord, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness so that I can be set free. In the Old Testament, forgiveness was granted on the basis of shedding animals' blood. You would come here every week, bring an animal. I would have to probably hold the head. Trembling, James, cut the throat, get the blood. Oh my gosh, you could imagine what this place would smell like. and the blood and the flies. Yeah, nasty. And that's how it was in the Old Testament. Thank God for Jesus Christ. So that was once and for all. He did that once and for all, so that we can receive that forgiveness. So how do I do it? How do I receive forgiveness? Well, you can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can only receive it by faith through the grace and mercy of God. Oh, thank God that He is full of grace and mercy. How many of you, if you got what you deserve, you'd be dead? Yeah, I'd be. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and receive forgiveness of God, I mean, there's a prayer you can pray. Acts 13:38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through Him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through Him, everyone who believes is free from all things from which you could not be free through the law of Moses. The focus, the good news, the focus of the good news is forgiveness of sins. Freedom from guilt. You know, if you ever done something, you feel guilty. You feel like, oh, guilty, 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 guilty. And I think the guilty feeling, I think the guilt comes from the devil. But I think the conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Yeah? I went to the doctor's office the other day, and they offered me a nice fat slice of cake. Oh, and it looked so good. And I was like, I know I had to go to the doctor again the next day for get my labs read. It's like, oh, I better not eat this cake. I wanted to, but oh, I think if I did, I would have felt guilty, not convicted. But I never ate the cake, but my sugar was still a little bit too high. It's because of all the cookies you bring me. Thank you. So we got to understand that, like, if we didn't done something and we feel guilty, man, that's the, you know, if you did something and you feel guilty and you think, like, oh, I could never go back to church. My name was in the paper for arrest of DUI. I could never show my face in church. I'm guilty. I feel like crap. That's the devil. If you feel guilty, like, oh, I did something, I cannot come back to church. You need to come back to church. You need to feel the conviction from God. And you need to be here so that you can repent. You can receive healing. We can pray for you. We can love you. You know, have you received this forgiveness? Or maybe some of you out there in Facebook say, like, that's why I'm watching on Facebook, because I don't feel good enough to come to church. And don't let the devil keep you there. People tell me, oh, I don't can come to church. I come to church, the building will fall down. I tell, hallelujah, because we can build a bigger one. Come, because I like the building fall. I want a higher ceiling. How many of you want air conditioning? Yeah. So if they tell you that I cannot come to church because the building won't fall, tell them come so we can build a bigger one. And when they come and this place no fall, I'm telling them, you see, that was just your thinking. You need to be able to receive forgiveness. Are you refreshed each day by the thought that you are right with God when you confess? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He, meaning God, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That is what we need to do. And when we do 1 John 1:9, by faith, I don't care if that faith is as tiny as a mustard seed. By faith, you believe, you understand that you are forgiven. Amen. You're not forgotten. You're not perfect. But you're forgiven. Clean slate. But the Bible says, does that mean, like Paul, does that mean I can keep on sinning so that I can get more grace? He says, no way. No, he said, no, but just understand when you confess, you believe by faith. And I think receiving forgiveness is so important because we know that we are forgiven and we can move on. We can grow when we understand that. Amen. Let me put away your Bible, put away your notes. If anybody out there who needs to receive Jesus, who needs to repent, ask for forgiveness, then I ask that you bow your heads and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me, change me, cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, anybody pray that prayer here? Would you hold up a hand? Anybody here? God bless you over there. Anybody else? Bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands on. Lord, you have seen the hands. And for those of you out there watching, if you have received Jesus, then let somebody know. Let us help you in your walk with the Lord. Lord, you have seen the hearts that had confessed and they have received you by faith. You have forgiven them. You have made them right with you. You have made them righteous. So Lord, I pray that no longer that they would hold on to the sins of the past, that they would be set free, for they have received forgiveness from you. And I pray that that would stick with them, that they would understand them. And I pray that you would use New Hope East Hawaii as a vessel to help them grow and to move forward. We thank you, Lord, that we get to meet. And again, we ask that you would keep us safe from this COVID. Keep us open so that we can share your message of hope with the world, with our neighbors. We thank you that we still get to meet here in person. We love you so much, and we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Give the Lord thanks. Thank you so much. Would you stand?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Scott. Do you know that the Bible says that the Lord God loves to be merciful to us? It ties into that forgiveness, and he keeps on giving mercy after mercy after mercy because he is good. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeasthawaii.com.